So let's look at our next in the series now of the series Following Jesus and looking at Luke's Gospel. I'm going to start with you guys doing a bit of work. I'd like you to chat to the person next to you for, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, that's a minute each, and answer a couple of these questions. What does your normal day off include? What would your ideal day off include? They may well be different. And what did you do last time you had a day off? So just have a quick chat to the person next to you and find out what a day off might be like. Okay, just draw your discussion to a close there, please. Thank you. We've got about 200 adults here, I guess, so there's probably 200 different answers flying around the room as to a normal day off, what that looks like. Maybe you're a student and you have 7 days off a week, pretty much. Maybe you're at school, some of the youth over there, and actually days off are kind of Saturdays and Sundays, pretty much. I don't know, maybe you're working and you've got a shift pattern, and your day offs vary from week to week. There's a whole mixture of experiences of what that means, what that looks like. And we're going to explore this theme of Sabbath from Luke's Gospel and find out a bit about how we can apply it. Maybe for you it's just kind of taking a lot of time in bed, resting, sleeping. Maybe it's gathering and playing cards, sport. Somebody said to me last week, and some of you might work out who, they really enjoy a day off by cutting the grass. I find that a bit stressful because you've got to go around after you've been on the lawnmower and do all the edges, and it's hard work and it hurts your back. Reading a book with a coffee, watching TV, who knows, a whole range of things that maybe help us to rest, that we enjoy doing on a day off. But as we look at this title of keeping the Sabbath like Jesus, what actually is the Sabbath? And we had a bit of an idea earlier in the service as we thought about that. But throughout the Bible, we get a growing understanding of what Sabbath means. And from creation and God resting on the seventh day to the Old Testament laws and the Ten Commandments, one of which was to observe a day of rest, a Sabbath, holy and pleasing to God. Or Israel, as they experience that and figure out what that looks like in regards to their work. And then we get to Jesus in the Gospels, and he challenges a lot of the understandings of what it looked like and what the experience of the Sabbath was. And all the way up to today, and I'm sure that churches vary in this position. We're not going to cover all the different positions that churches or groups would hold. We're going to look at this particular passage and explore it a bit and hopefully apply what that looks like. But certainly the Jewish holy day of rest was from work, both employed work and domestic work. It was a day where there were various limitations on what people could do. From lighting a fire to not exceeding a certain day's journey on a Sabbath, to the amount of weight or burdens you could carry, all sorts of things to try and impress upon the Jewish people the fact that they had been saved, redeemed from slavery, and also that God rested and so they should rest. And following that, we see that throughout the Bible that Sabbath is so much more than just a law, a rule. It's this life-giving, life-renewing, saving foretaste of heaven. And I think often as we look at these words and these laws in the Bible, we kind of minimalize them a bit to the core without seeing the blessing as we step back. So this morning, hopefully, we're going to see a slightly broader picture of what Sabbath is and how that not only can be applied in our lives, but be a real blessing and privilege that we get to partake in as Christians today that aren't Jews back in Jesus' day. And so I've kind of pulled it together in this phrase: keeping the Sabbath like Jesus means enjoying his saving rest. Okay, hopefully we'll see how I get to that as we work through a bit of Luke's Gospel, and we'll read it in a moment. So keeping the Sabbath means enjoying his saving rest. So let's read Luke chapter 6. You've got a Bible, do open it up. Otherwise, it's on the screen. You've got it on your phone, then find it in your phone. Luke chapter 6 from verse 1. It's from the NIV translation. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands, and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and, taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." And then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" He looked round at them all and then said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So Sabbath was one of the issues of real conflict that the Pharisees had with Jesus. We see conflict with our leaders, don't we? And interpretations of what policies maybe should be implemented. Think of our international leaders, think of government, think of local councils. There's often a couple of key issues that are the main issues of conflict, be it immigration, be it a bunch of other things that are in our news at the moment. Often there's a big issue that causes issue. And for Jesus, as he went about in his ministry, and the one thing that the Pharisees particularly raised as an accusation was his use of the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, the day of rest, the day where you would meet in a synagogue for teaching and prayer and then spend it making sure you didn't break any number of laws. And this is the reason that the Pharisees challenged Jesus in this passage. They have such a desire to keep the Sabbath laws that they are completely confused and baffled why Jesus, this local rabbi teacher who has a following, is so different from the other rabbi teachers. The other people that would have been like Jesus, that would have gone around teaching with a group of followers, would have kept to the Sabbath laws. And here's Jesus, apparently in disregard for them. What on earth is going on? And so what we find is that they center their accusation on the fact that Jesus is working and his disciples are working on the Sabbath. In the first two verses, we see that. It says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields and his disciples began to pick some ears of corn, rub them in their hands and eat the grain. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" You might think, well, how on earth is that unlawful? They're walking through the fields, they're presumably talking with Jesus, he's teaching them as he travels from one village to the next. And the word gets back to the Pharisees that his disciples are just picking some of the corn, breaking it apart, throwing away the bad bits and eating the good part of the corn. And they define that as work, because there was reaping. There was winnowing and threshing and eating. So this is a preparation of food which was beyond the regulations that the Pharisees had established. Now, in the Old Testament, we have laws to do with Sabbath, things that quite clearly God had said you shouldn't do. But what the Pharisees had done, as we discovered last week, was they liked to add lots of extra rules and lots of extra explanations and regulations. So it wasn't just by the importance of having rest and not doing your daily job. It was up to, I think, 520 other rules attached to the Sabbath, which added to the rules of how to make sure you didn't break this fourth commandment, this commandment from the Old Testament. And this had become a burden. The Sabbath was due to be, or meant to be, a blessing for the people of Israel, and instead it had become a burden. We got a new game over at Christmas called Lattice, and the object of the game is to match up different tiles on a board and receive some little kind of token stones as a point system. And the more matches that you make, the more stones that you gain, and then you end up winning if you get rid of your tiles first of all. The problem with this game is that the rules were really limited. They were only on one side of kind of A5 sheet. And as we were playing this game, we were realizing we had to add extra clarifying rules to make sense of it. I don't know if you've ever got one of those games. The rules just don't really say enough. You need more. And so we haven't started writing down extra rules. That's a little bit keen. But verbally, in the Power household, if you come and play Lattice, there's a bunch of extra rules that we kind of have to remind each other of. They're important. Otherwise, the game gets confusing. And essentially, the Pharisees were doing this kind of thing. They had the core of the commandment and the rules that God had added, or not added, but given to help them understand how to practice the Sabbath. But then they ended up writing a bunch of extra rules and extra regulations to find out really what it meant to live out this principle, this law. And that is what Jesus seems to be breaking in this episode. And the second account that followed referred to a healing miracle, didn't it? And so in verse 6, we read, "On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath." Now again, in the Old Testament, you were allowed to heal on the Sabbath if it was life-saving. So if a prophet Elijah and others, they exercised healing miracles, which stunned many of the local Jews. There was an understanding that if someone is in a life-threatening situation, you're allowed to, on a Sabbath, save them. For example, if they had fallen down a hole, you'd pull them out and make sure that they wouldn't die down the hole. And actually, what was commonplace was to know that, yeah, even though it's a Sabbath, it's okay to bring life healing to someone if there was a life-threatening situation. So what the Pharisees are doing here is setting up a scenario where they're looking for Jesus to do more of a minor healing miracle. So this guy with a shriveled right hand is present and in the synagogue, and Jesus is there. And he understands the Pharisees' intentions. And what he does is bring him forward and he heals his hand, this shriveled hand, the right hand, the hand which would have normally been used for shaking hands, for eating, for doing lots of the lawful rituals which were really important. And if you have a shriveled right hand, your left hand has to do everything. Which would have brought an uncleanly state to an individual, which would have been a real problem due to the other laws in the Old Testament. And so what Jesus is doing is healing an individual who is excluded from the community largely. So yes, he's bringing physical healing, but also social and spiritual. And so the Pharisees are caught up on this issue of work. They're caught up on this issue of healing miracles. And this is what they say people should do on the Sabbath. And Jesus challenges it. There's a great quote that I came across referring to this. "It may be your kind of Sabbath to leave people hungry and disabled, but my kind of Sabbath is different." That's kind of what Jesus is saying. The Pharisees say you keep the Sabbath by keeping the rules. And Jesus comes and causes a real kind of turn of events. He says, no, actually, human need is important. So let's find out what that looks like. How had the Pharisees lost this central purpose? And what does that look like for us today? See, we're more like the Pharisees than we might think. Because we also have misunderstood the purpose of Sabbath, of rest, of what God's word has instructed us to do, which is to rest and to remember him. A couple of areas. One is we often can make an idol of work and the busy Christian life. That's essentially what the Pharisees did. They had turned the focus away from the heart of the Sabbath towards the extra rules. They weren't concerned about a man being healed from a major issue or from disciples eating some food but that they had prepared themselves. They were looking to trip up Jesus. They were looking for a way to attack him because they were more caught up on the law of their work. And I think quite often we can find that we make an idol of work and the busy Christian life because we misunderstand the importance of Sabbath, of rest, of doing what God has instructed. And we're going to explore a bit more about how we can overcome that as we look at what Jesus is saying in challenge. There's one thing to keep in mind. The other is that we often can judge people's use of Sabbath. So when I'm talking about Sabbath, we need to think beyond the Jewish Sabbath and more towards other days off that we might have, or rest, be that a Saturday, a Sunday, a midweek. How do we rest when we're not working? How do we say, oh, these are the important principles to live out? Now, when I was growing up, we had quite a strong don't do things on a Sunday kind of focus to the parenting. So I remember not really watching TV, not playing sport, not doing a number of things. And actually, because that was framed in the positive sense, it was okay. So I was quite happy not to do homework on a Sunday because essentially it was one day of the week that I was told I didn't have to do it. So that was okay. I was happy with that. The sport one was a bit more of a challenge because I love sport. Watching TV was a bit more of a challenge. But because my parents said, look, it's not just that you can't do something, but more that you can spend time with us as a family, playing a game, going for a walk, enjoying being together, it meant it was okay. Now, as I grew up, sometimes I was less happy with that than other times. But what can quite easily happen is as you develop your own personal understanding of how to apply this Sabbath principle of rest, is that we can quite easily start pointing the finger and judging how other people misuse a day off, how much they rest, how much they keep to God's word or not. So we need to understand what it really means before we start judging and pointing the finger elsewhere. So we've got to be careful of that. But we've also got to be careful that we don't make this mistake that the Pharisees did, which was to not respond to the needs around them with the good news. And Jesus comes, doesn't he? He comes and brings the kingdom of God wherever he goes, bringing healing, teaching, including the marginalized, the poor and the downtrodden. And what does Jesus do, even on a Sabbath? He continues to extend the kingdom of God to those in need. He heals the man with a withered hand. Now, he could have waited a day and healed him the next day. But instead, he shows in front of everyone that this is the purpose of the Sabbath, to bring saving rest, to bring hope to the hopeless, love to those that supposedly are unlovable. So what does Jesus say about how to keep it? He models something. We've seen that in what he has done in these two accounts. He meets human need. Now, how hungry were the disciples? Did they really need to eat corn as they walked through the fields? Maybe, maybe not. We don't know. But what Jesus does is he points back to King David and how David broke the law in an even more extreme way than the disciples were. He broke the law by eating from the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. And Jesus says, look, an exception was made for David. I think exceptions are allowed on the basis of human need being met. The law isn't there to be a burden, but instead to release blessing to people. Jesus provides this great illustration that they need to think of it in a different way, not the letter of the law, but the spirit. Secondly, he answers by stating that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Now, this was a huge statement. This is a statement that says, I institute the Sabbath. I'm above the Sabbath, one of the Ten Commandments. I'm the Lord of it. So this is a statement of being God, of being more than man. And instead of the Sabbath being the thing that we live under, the Sabbath being something that serves people. Suddenly, the Pharisees are being challenged to think about this day of rest in a whole new way. And Jesus is saying that by confirming the fact that he is Lord over it. Therefore, if David was okay to break the Sabbath, then certainly Jesus is, because he's the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Messiah and King that had come. So Jesus brings a massive challenge here by meeting human need, by saying that he's above the Sabbath, but also, as I said earlier, by bringing God's kingdom on the Sabbath itself. He brings the kingdom by bringing healing. He doesn't stop serving others just because it's a holy day. In fact, that's surely the best day to serve others and bring God's blessing and life-giving power, bringing healing and hope to a man who had had a shriveled hand for his life. He brings kingdom hope, and he does so for a huge reason. Now, throughout time, people have tried playing with the whole day off per week. And as we think about how Jesus shows the true purpose of the Sabbath, we see that he's less fixed on the day being observed and more about the purpose of the day itself. The purpose being to save life, not to destroy it. So as we think about what this means, what does it mean for us? Well, first of all, keeping the Sabbath doesn't save us, but it does bless us. It brings blessing to us. So whilst we might not be following the Jewish law as a church community, we're taking what Jesus is teaching to the Pharisees and the crowds and within the synagogue and applying it into our situation today, seeing that great blessing comes from taking a day of rest. And Jesus prioritized this in his own ministry. He was in the synagogue. He was often teaching in the synagogue, which would have been their Saturday, their Sabbath day. Not only that, but we see Jesus resting regularly, modeling the importance of rest, not just work. But not to the extent that he doesn't serve the needs of those around him. He heals those that are poor. He meets the needs of others. And so Jesus is responding to the needs around him. He's prioritizing rest. He's blessing a day that had become a burden rather than a blessing. These are the answers to this question of the Sabbath that Jesus gives. So what does it mean from the rest of the Bible? We've looked at what Jesus says in answer and what the Pharisees would have longed to have seen the Sabbath as being like. And actually, as we go back to creation and redemption of Israel from Egypt, we see that actually the heart of Sabbath is this, the truth that we are fulfilling the law by loving God and others. See, Jesus in the New Testament said that the way that the law can be summarized is by loving God and loving others. Loving God and loving others by enjoying this holy rest. And so actually, the Sabbath is to be most enjoyed and fulfilled by loving God. Actually, by taking rest, we are expressing the importance and priority of our relationship with God and can begin to love others effectively. So back in creation, God rested on the seventh day and gave this mandate of rest, not just work. But following that, the Ten Commandments link back to creation. And in Exodus 20, we see that when God explains the importance, the priority of observing rest, he looks back and says, because God rested and made the seventh day holy. But then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, when the laws are repeated, the extra reason for that day of rest is given because you've been saved from slavery. So what is this day about? Well, it's about the importance of holy rest because God has made that day holy. But more than that, it's about remembering salvation. So as we think about that for us, we see the importance of rest because God rested and makes a day holy. But also that it's about salvation. We remember the saving God who's been at work in our life. And then Hebrews chapter 4, a book in the New Testament, points forward. It doesn't point back to creation. It says, just like the promised land was a place of rest, heaven will be your place of eternal rest. And so as we think about the Sabbath, we see that it's not just about now. It's not just about one day in the week and taking rest to remember that God rested and taking rest to remember that we've been saved. but instead it's about a time when we'll rest completely. So the emphasis shifts from one day to essentially, if we follow Jesus, every day. Sabbath rest is something that we experience any day of the week, because if we follow Jesus, we've come to know the forgiveness of sins, the hope of heaven, the joy of the Spirit within us. So applying the principle rather than keeping the rule. We're, from my understanding, not called to keep a Sabbath rule. We're called to apply a principle, to apply something that Jesus said is important, but something that he fulfilled. So how do we do that? We've talked about what Jesus says, which is very important, and what the Bible says. I'm going to just finish with a few applications. So what do I say? How do I kind of live out? What would I encourage you guys this morning to think about and reflect on further? It's not keeping a rule, but it's applying a Sabbath principle of rest. And I really encourage you guys to think about taking one day a week of rest. Now, it's going to vary. I've said that already. Some of you may well do lots of shifts if you're in the nursing profession or police force or some other services. And it might be really hard to have a regular day off in a week. It might change, and that's okay. But for those of you that have more of a regular pattern, I really encourage you to think about planning in a day of rest to recharge, to make sure that idol of work isn't something that runs your life. But instead, by not working, you say, God, I give you my work. I don't need to work every day. I'm not going to check my emails. I'm not going to work through my to-do list and make sure that I've covered a few things so that my next 6 days are a bit easier. Instead, I'm going to prioritize rest. I'm going to enjoy rest in these following ways. By stopping, making the day different. Maybe Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday are quite similar. You've got a certain pattern to your day, when you get up, how you do your job, the way that you care for your children. Try and make your day of rest different. It might be lying in. Great if that's something that you can do. If you've got kids, it's a bit hard. If you don't like lying in it, then don't bother with that. Just get up early. But do something different on your day off. I tried really hard yesterday. Saturdays are my day off. And I tried really hard to make sure that I was applying this, given that I'd be talking about it. And so I didn't get up early. I did get up early, sorry. Nadia enjoyed a bit of a lie-in. But I watched three films. I don't normally watch three films. I did something different. I played with my kids, which I can't do every day of the week. I enjoyed watching sport, which I can't do every day of the week. I enjoyed spending an evening with Nadia, which I don't do every day of the week. I made sure that the day felt different. So one day of the week that we in our family sit on the sofa and eat watching TV. Normally, we sit up at the dinner table. We have nice conversation. We just do something different to make it special, to make it a family time that's a bit memorable, but is in resting and stopping. And so we enjoy leisure. Often what we can find in our culture is that we get so caught up in our leisure pursuits that they end up exhausting us. And they don't achieve the one thing that leisure's meant to do, which is provide refreshment and rest. And so as well as stopping, making your day different, enjoying leisure, what does that mean? What does that look like for you? But more than that, it's not just about me and resting and staying in clothes. It's about embracing others, church community. And that might be for many people here today, being at church and being eating lunch with others, enjoying community, enjoying kind of embracing faith with others and mission, serving opportunities. It might mean feasting, that importance of celebrating and fun and food and music and friends. The Sabbath is to be enjoyed. It's something that sparks a delight in God, a delight in others, because God has brought a saving work into the world, which we know. So enjoy rest. It might enjoy, it certainly should involve trusting, relying on God, and remembering the gospel. And if a mixture of those things can happen on a day off, great. For me, I get more church community and celebration with others on a Sunday, so I get to enjoy that as well, which is really good. But for me, the challenge is making sure that I do spend time with God, thanking him for who he is on my day off on a Saturday when I'm not with other Christians. How does it work? Well, it's not a rule, but it's a principle to try and apply. How can we rest in a holy way, enjoying it and knowing that God has done a saving work that is shown throughout Scripture? So enjoying Sabbath rest, enjoying such as this, living life to the full isn't living on the edge of burnout. I remember that being said to me at a conference once and being really challenged. If we're modelling what it is to be a Christian that lives, has life in all its fullness, and we're exhausted constantly, we're in a state of perpetual tiredness, and just saying, come on, become a Christian because God's really good and your life will be great, but we've got bags under our eyes and we're worn out and we're never... How is that an attractive gospel to share? It's not. It's not, is it? Living life to the full means being able to rest really well and knowing God's goodness in our life, being in the Bible and in prayer and in times with other Christians, celebrating his word through songs and community. So living life to the full isn't living on the edge of burnout. That you rest is essential. How you rest is kind of up to you. You know how you rest best. For some people, it's quite an active day of sport and seeing people and extroverted time. For others, it might be retreating and you need more just in your book time. You might need to disappear out of Canterbury and go for a walk in the woods. How do you rest well? How does that work for families? How does that work when you're retired and you have more time during the week, but you're still busy with your own domestic jobs and visiting family and grandchildren? You still need to work out what it looks like to have a day where you're doing something different, resting. However, what I want to finish with is not so much how to use one day in the week in a biblical sense, but to understand that the Sabbath is so much more than just one day. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Is Jesus talking about one day a week here? No. He's talking about the spiritual rest, being made right with God. He's talking about the rest from the weight of guilt and burden of sin, being forgiven. He's talking about the joy of knowing that we can be with him in heaven for all eternity. The weight, the pressures of this world, but also the pressures within us, within our heart. So actually, the greatest part of the Sabbath rest is not so much one day a week, whether you make sure you keep it clear and work free and restful leisure and good time with Christians, but more that you know God is your personal rest provider, your spiritual savior. Do you need to come to Jesus and receive his saving rest? Jesus offers it. And maybe you're here and even though you've been following Jesus for a while, you need to come back to that and receive his rest this morning afresh. Maybe you've not taken a step of faith to follow Jesus before and you need to come and say, I give you my life. I need to be forgiven, God. Help me. Help me see my sin and give it over to you and receive forgiveness for the first time. But the fulfillment of the Sabbath, the message that the Pharisees didn't get and really understand, was that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath and that Jesus fulfilled it by coming and providing rest for the whole person, mind, body and soul. Yes, a day per week, but more than that, a spiritual rest that would last for eternity, a rest that would satisfy our souls and our greatest needs. So what does it look like for you today? Is it just like that image in the film Chariots of Fire? I don't know if anyone's seen the film Chariots of Fire. It was a film that I studied when I was studying sport in one of my first degree as a kind of student, this age student. And I had to study it and look at the themes that came through. And one of the themes that I focused on was the theme of Sunday rest, Sabbath. And there's this part of the film that I don't really agree with. The rest of it is really good. But this one scene where Eric Liddell comes out of the church and he tells off a group of boys for playing football because it's the Sabbath. It's Sunday. It's a special day. I think, no, it's okay to have a kick around and have leisure. And Sabbath is so much more than just rules. Sitting quietly in church, going home and sitting, playing a nice a good board game as a family. It's so much more than that. It is that, but it's so much more. Sabbath is meant to be enjoyed and fun, but more than that, it's something that God gives us as a rest with him, knowing him and knowing our eternal rest. Let me pray as we finish. Maybe you've been challenged by being a bit like a Pharisee, and overemphasizing work. Maybe you've been challenged by judging others and their use of a day off. Maybe you've been challenged by the need to get right with God and receive his rest for the first time, or just receive it afresh this morning. Maybe it's more about how you use your day off, how to make it holy to God, not just for yourself, your own leisure pursuits, but maybe also to include others, to include God in your time that is holy to him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you that he comes to give us rest. Thank you that he has fulfilled the Sabbath law by being the one that we can turn to receive eternal rest. I pray for anyone here this morning that needs to come to you and hear that and receive that. And I pray for those of us, me included, that need to look afresh at how I rest, how I see that as something that is holy and pleasing to you, how you are glorified in my resting as well as in my working. Help us not to follow the pattern of this world and make work an idol. Help us not to make leisure an idol either, but to instead work well and rest well. Father God, I pray that we would be people that encourage one another to enjoy holy rest each week, each day, not neglecting the needs around us, but serving you with joy and thanksgiving. In your holy name, amen.